him. Preach first for us, amen. And good to have
him tonight, amen. And I thought that was North Carolina tie you had on there first. I seen a little blue on there. But you pray for Randall as he preaches, and he's got his whole family in here. They're expanding, they're growing, amen. And so we thank you guys for contributing to the growth of the Sunrise Baptist Church, amen. Praise the Lord. But you pray for Brother Randall as he comes, and give us about 20 minutes, bro, and just preach the word, amen. Okay. Amen. Bless you. Praying for you, buddy.
Thank you. Can you hear me? No? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 through 14. Exodus chapter 14, 13 through 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. I titled this message, "Fear Ye Not." Dear righteous Heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord, asking you, Lord, please, Lord, for every man of God here, Lord, we need your anointing, Lord. We need you to empty us out and you fill us up with the Holy Ghost, with your strength, with your wisdom, with your word, Lord. We need you to fill us up, Lord, with yourself, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you here now, Lord. Please guide my words, my actions, my thoughts. May not be me, Lord. May they hear you, not me, Lord. I don't want nothing of me here, Lord. That's why I ask you, Lord, now. Help me now, because I need your help. And so does these men, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you look up the word fear, it means an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by expectation or awareness of danger. Mm-hmm. Here we see here, if you look through chapter 14, it speaks about how the Israelites came out of bondage finally.
Yes.
After 10 miracles occurring, that the plagues that was destroying Egypt, Pharaoh finally let them go. Basically setting up, all right, let them go. And then he turns around. God tells Moses, "I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and I'm going to get my honor from them." Yeah. Basically saying, "I'm going to show myself before children of Israel through around the whole world. They're going to see and know who I am once I wipe them out." He's telling Moses everything in the beginning part. Says, I'm going to harden their heart. They're going to come after you, basically. And here we see it right here. They're on their way coming after children of Israel. They're already next to the Red Sea. They're being boxed in right now, and God's setting up a miracle before everyone.
Amen.
And here we see in verse 10, it says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord."
Yes.
Here we see, verse 10, we see the right action. When you get in trouble, when things start coming down upon you, it's a good reaction to run to the Lord.
Amen.
When everything starts falling apart, running to the Lord.
Amen.
But unfortunately, there's two reactions that people do here, unfortunately. One, running to the Lord was the right, correct action they are supposed to do. And because of that one action, let's look to Joshua chapter 24, verse 7. Joshua chapter 24, verse 7, it says here, it says, "And when they cried out unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season." Here, we're already seeing, because they cried out to the Lord, he started already interfering with the Egyptians, trying to wipe them out. He's stepping in between and said, "No, you're not having my people."
Right.
We already see it, and if you look down verse 19 and 20 in Exodus, it says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. And so that the one came to near the other all came not near the other all the night. So here, God's already blinding the Egyptians, basically making it dark where they can't see where they're going.
Yeah.
Can't get to the Israelites. Here, God's already protecting his people, basically. And we're seeing it right now. But now, unfortunately, this is where where it falls apart for the Israelites. Unfortunately, this is where I come into, because I am just like them. When things start going wrong and I don't have enough patience to trust the Lord, I start blaming other people for what's going on. I start blaming, you can ask my wife, I've done it to her. I've done it to God. I've done it with every people who's close to me. I start blaming, pointing fingers at them. And see, in verse 11, it says here, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves, no tombs in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So you'd rather die a slow death under bondage than die quickly. Because if you're looking at how they're looking at it, so you're telling me, use common sense now, you'd rather die a very slow death where you're getting beaten every day, being mocked, ridiculed for who you are, for the race that you are, and just die a slow death and have your children go through it, have your grandchildren go through it, one generation after another going through this, then actually just go die quickly. This is how I'm looking at this now. It doesn't make sense to me. And what they're talking about in verse 12 is in Exodus chapter 5, verse 21, which I don't have time to go to now. But it's talking about basically how Moses and Aaron confronted him, saying, let my people go, basically. And Pharaoh got mad and said, okay, let's see you make bricks without hay. Because they're not going, and their load better not dwindle, because we were going to beat them, and they're going to keep their load as it is, making bricks without the hay. So, and have the people come after you. And here, this is what they're referring to. The Israelites telling Moses, basically saying, his people saying, we told you to leave us alone, because you caused trouble then, now you caused trouble for us. Now, not just me, my family going to die, my grandchildren, nieces, nephews, now they're going to be wiped out. Thank you a lot. This was basically, thank you for so much for helping us out here. Thank you. But this is what I love about Moses. He just brushes it off like it was nothing. And he encourages them at the same token. It says in verse 12, we see here the commands of Moses. Encouragement and the commands. It says, is not this the word? Verse 13, it says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I want you to come back with me to, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The word fear means be afraid, obviously, fear not. Be afraid not, but it says stand still, which I couldn't help to think when I looked up the word stand still, it also means station.
Right.
Station oneself. I couldn't help to think about this when I saw that word station oneself. Brett, if you want to come out here real quick. Station oneself reminds me of basketball, because that was my favorite sport when I played in high school. I love football, but basketball was my favorite sport. Station, to me, means I'm the point guard, which I never was. I was a center, so I had your duty. I had to set a pick to set my guy free. So for me to set the pick, I had to be stationed.
Right.
Set in position, not moving, but stationed.
Right.
And for it to work, I would have to come to my guy who's sending the pick, and how my coach has taught me, the point guard has to brush his shoulder with your shoulder for it to work. And that's here we're seeing here, God saying, stand still. This is the only way this is going to work. If we are serving the Lord, we have to stand still.
making sure it happens for the Lord to work. But if we're moving, it all falls apart. Now there's offensive foul. As soon as because if he's moving, they call offensive foul, you lose the ball, and it goes back to the other side. You can sit down. That's the thing I couldn't help not see. Moses is flat out telling him, stand still. Be stationed oneself. Don't move. And he says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, be stationary. Do not move. And see. Another command, you have to see what the Lord's about to do. You have to see it. If you're too busy moving around, like I said, being stationary, if you're not being stationary and you're doing this, you're not going to see nothing. Yeah. You're going to be wandering around with your head chopped off. Like, what's going on? Yeah. Then we finally see it. Because too many times we're always trying to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. And say, I'm standing still and listening to the Lord.
Yes.
And we see here. Boy, I'm skipping a whole bunch of stuff. But oh, that's fine. But for us to fear not, where it says, fear ye not, this is the one verse I don't want to miss. Let's look at Matthew verse 10, verse 28. Here's a reason why we should not fear. A very big reason. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. It says, and fear not them which can kill the body, but ye are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It's as simple as that. The only person we're supposed to be fearing is God himself. God the Father. It's as simple as that. It's not a game. It's not a joke. It's not. We need to fear. What's there to fear? What's the worstest thing to do? They're going to make fun of us? We're not living in the Middle East where they can behead us. We're living in the United States. The worstest thing they can do is either lock us up in jail or just mock us. And how many times do we just back down? Because we have family that mocks us. We have our friends mocking us, our coworkers mocking us, our colleagues, unfortunately, even in our own church, because we stand up for the truth.
Amen.
But we back down and we fear. And we come back to standing, stand still and then seeing. We need to see what the Lord is about to do. We need to, if we're not standing still, we can't see nothing. But that reminds me also of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, which I did not mark down on this one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, but put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yeah. Remember, your enemy is not your family member. Your enemy is not your neighbor.
Amen.
It's not your coworker. It's not your boss. It's the devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who we're fighting against. Yeah. No one else. And that's the thing we got to remember, too. We should not be fearing nobody. Only person we need to fear is the Lord. Keep our sights on the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. But here we see also, it says, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to us today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. That's incredible. That's incredible. God promises one day we will not see the devil. He's already told us in Revelation. There will be one day we won't see the devil anymore.
Amen.
He won't be hindering. When I die, if we're still here, the rapture hasn't taken place, he's going to be messing with my son. He's going to be messing with your daughter. Mm-hmm. Messing with our grandkids one day. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. But one day, the devil won't be here.
Amen.
One day, he's going to be in the lake of fire with the Antichrist and the false prophet,
yes,
with
yes.
all the people that followed him. There will be no more pain, no more suffering. Don't worry about the devil being on our back or the demons or anything else. Oh, we'll be in the glory.
Amen.
Exactly. And there will be nothing more to worry about. That's why we need to stay focused on the Lord. That's why I have to constantly remind myself constantly, because I listen to Satan when he's on my back telling me, you're no good. You failed.
Yeah, yeah.
You're worthless. God's already forsaken you.
Yeah, yeah.
No one else cares about you. You're a loser. You ain't going to do nothing. And so I got to shake it off.
Yeah.
I got to go forth and do what God says and keep my faith in the Lord. Quit allowing depression or quit letting bitterness or pride or whatever other sin that can come in. Need to stay focused on the Lord and keep going.
Yeah.
Then we see in verse 14, it says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace."
Yeah.
To be silent. To keep quiet.
Yeah.
Or my favorite word, shut up. It is as simple as that. I know the Lord ain't going to be like that, but unfortunately sometimes I get like that, and I just want to say shut up. But when God is working, don't say a word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See, too many times, like me, I like to keep talking.
Come on,
that ain't going to help the situation. No. You make the situation worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Just be quiet and let him fight for you.
Right.
The word salvation means, hopefully I remember to write it down, victory or deliverance. Well, you can't get victory if you're too busy mouthing off about the person who's messing with you. Instead of keeping your mouth shut and let the Lord fight your fight for you.
Yeah.
He'll get the victory for you. Not you, because we'll mess it up.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we have to keep our mouth shut. That's why it says here, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace," to be silent. Then it says here, on verse 15, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore carest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward, but lift up thy rod,
Amen.
And stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Here we're already seeing the Lord's telling them what to do. Now the next thing is we're going to see. It happens. I'm trying to, I don't know how much time I got. I didn't pay attention. Oh, cool. But I'm still going to skip a lot of stuff, though. But let's go to verse 26, and it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength from the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all that the host of Pharaoh that came unto the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them." God wiped them out, every last single one of them.
Amen.
That's why it's so important to obey him. Because if you want true victory, it has to be through him.
Amen.
It can't be on yourself. It can't be you jaw-jacking, flapping your gums, thinking you can handle it, or texting, or doing whatever else there is out there, smoke signals, trying to insult everybody. You need to be quiet and let the Lord fight for you.
Amen.
And then we need to look at real quick at Proverbs 3. 25. Proverbs 3:25. Okay. Now, this is the one I forgot to mark. 3:25. It says here, it says, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." The word sudden here means surprisingly, and the fear means terror or dread. So be not afraid of suddenly terror, neither of the dissolution or devastation or ruin or waste of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, means hope, and shall keep, which means guard the foot from being taken.
Amen.
It means God's going to protect you. It's as simple as that.
Yes.
God's going to protect you at all times. As long as you stay in his will, stay focused, not just focus on, near him. What is the best place to be near him? Is being in church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
being the Word of God.
Yes.
Being on your knees. Witnessing. Handing out tracts. Inviting people to church.
Amen.
Doing His will as He's commanded. We need to stay near Him. It's the only way He's going to protect us. If we go out of His will, He's near us.
Yeah.
But He's going to let it happen. Whatever is going to fall because He's told us we need to stay near.
Yes.
And unfortunately, sometimes He'll whip us, our, you know, whip us Himself to get our attention and say, hey, I told you not to do that.
Right.
It's time to wake up, come back to Daddy. Let's do what's right. I'm sorry, I'm speaking. That's how Noah talks to me. Sorry, Daddy. That's how I look at things. We need to stay focused on the Lord.
Amen.
So my question is to you, what do you fear right now? What is hindering you from serving the Lord?
Yeah.
What is holding you back right now? What is it that's destroying your testimony or the fear of rejection, fear of just being accepted? I mean, what is holding you back from serving the Lord? Because Moses said it clearly. Fear ye not. God's openly said, why do you fear? I'm here. No one can lay a hand on you unless I okay it.
Yes.
Why are we fearing? And then here we... In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. If you have a care, give it to Him. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All you have to do is come now to Jesus. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
Whatever is terrifying you, whatever is holding you back, you just have to come to the Lord. And Moses said it clear as day. God used Moses to say this, fear ye not. What's there to fear? What is holding you back? Holy, righteous, Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, Lord, for Thy word, for Thy message. And thank You for being a holy God, a just God, a merciful God. And whatever is holding anyone here or people who's watching this online, Lord, whatever is holding them back, being fearful, Lord, may they come in their home, in their car, and start praying to You, Lord, and asking, Lord, help them, Lord. Whatever they're asking, Lord, please help them, Lord. Please bless them, strengthen them, encourage them. May they go forward then, once from there, and going forward and just doing Your will in all things, Lord, trusting in You, Lord Jesus Christ. Please help them now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.